I don't know. Duck and cover, bitches.
Hi.
How are you, Brett?
I'm fab.
Good to hear.
I'm having a great day, actually.
I miss your face.
I miss your face because we don't have any video of my face.
We don't have video of Brett's face, so she always gets my face.
My face.
Yeah. Do we want to tell them what this podcast is?
Guys, this is a particularly dangerous situation.
Yeah. So
you're listening to.
If you don't know what a particularly dangerous situation is, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's exactly what it sounds like, weather related. Because you're going to find, if you've listened to us, weather terms are really hilarious. Like when something's incredible, isn't it? Incredibly is like a technical term for a measurement of like intensity or something.
I think it is. I mean, I'm going to go with yes.
It's like the technical term. So particularly dangerous situation is as well. And we are a disaster podcast.
Yes.
And currently,
I love it because I'm a disaster.
I was just going to say, currently not about our disaster called life, but I told my husband that we're doing this.
And he's like, oh, you're going to have the same.
I've heard other people say that too. Well, then my husband's like, oh, are you guys going to talk about yourselves? And I was like,
you guys are a goddamn disaster. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Sure are.
I mean,
yep.
I hear you kind of are, Brett.
I mean,
currently, right?
If we're talking about my medical situation and my current situation with alcohol, yes, I am a constant disaster. So,
Brett, body update corner.
Brett, body update corner. Copious amounts of medications, and both natural and regular, prescribed medications. Excuse me. I would hope that most people don't know. What am I talking about? Nobody knows me. I'm allergic to most painkillers, pain meds. Mm-hmm. And I think I might have messaged this last one. So, Nina, no, don't eat that. No, that's not for eating. Okay. I'm allergic to most painkillers. So I'm like doing all these things, trying to get better, but the nerve pain is something that I live with. So the gabapentin, sorry, I'm gonna laugh like an idiot, but I don't feel like I have arms. So that's the side effect for me. The side effect for me is one, I'm a little forgetful. Two, I don't feel anything below my elbow.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
so I have to make a real cognizant effort to say, I'm picking this up and I'm going to hold it. So right now I'm picking up my beer and I'm going to hold it. I actually have to think about it first because if I don't, it'll literally fall right out of my hands.
Oh my gosh.
Right out of my hands. And I remember this because back in the 2000s, when I first started taking this drug, I was on it for less than a week because I couldn't function at work. I would go in and I was a waitress at the time at a strip club. Mm-hmm. Hey, Brett. and I couldn't hold anything. I was dropping beer bottles. I was dropping glasses and they were like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm like, oh, I'm just on drugs. The kind that were referred by my doctor, you know? So there's my story.
Jeez. Mm-hmm. Still having quite the time.
I am. But, super stoked because I was on the internets this morning and I saw an anniversary and I went, I'm not going to do Hurricane Andrew. I'm going to wait.
Oh,
I'm going to do something else. So Bree, what's up with you?
I am in school and I'm going to get really busy in a second because midterms are coming up.
Shit.
So as I think you mentioned before, and I'm sure now people will hear for the 20th time, I've been running the social media. And I've been getting very creative.
God bless you. Thank you so much for doing that. My little thank you package is actually going to go out tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, you actually made me one.
I did. It was literally in my backpack for like a solid 2 weeks while I was going through this stupid malady. So now I'm finally, I went to go put my computer in my backpack and it went crunch. I was like, oh shit, what was that? And I'm like, oh my God, this is Bree's gifts. So yeah.
So what I'm getting is crunchy, I found.
Or crushed, you know, one or the other.
Yeah. But it's been really great. I discovered the Lady Pod Squad that we're a part of now. So
I started following, I asked to join the group on Facebook, Ladies Who Podcast.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it came up today on my little, what is it, recommended, you know, because I have like, groups. You go to the pages thing. Yeah, the groups thing.
Okay, I'll look that one up too.
Going there to check out my daily check-in for my Halloween group.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love the Lady Pod Squad already. Everyone's awesome. Super like encouraging, and it's totally the community, not competition, which is like my motto with things like this.
Love it. And we gotta lift each other up, girl.
Yeah. And I've already been listening to so many good podcasts. Like I listened to the Ouija Broads, which is Pacific Northwest things that are kind of, I guess, like creepy and
love it
different. And then I'm also really got stuck with 6 degrees of Wikipedia, which
oh shit. No, that's the wormhole for me. I'm done.
You should try it. They
no, I shouldn't.
I
just shouldn't try. Nina. No.
The host one does the spiral through it and then goes through each thing, the 6 things from one subject to the next. And then the other person has to try to guess what each degree is as she does it. And I listened to it. It was Area 51 to Thursday. Then the other one was Jeff Goldblum to contacting the dead. So,
cool.
So it was really cool and I really like it. And then I made flyers, which you know.
Yeah.
And I got business cards.
Shut the fucking front door. I love it.
With QR codes.
Send them to me. I can send them out to my Bay Area peeps.
They're not amazing. They're like,
hey,
but
look, I don't
good
care.
For friends.
We're starting off. Come
yeah.
On.
Yeah. No.
Oh,
but
oh, listen to that.
Look, it's a QR code. So someone can scan it and it'll
my dog
take
is licking the mic, you guys. I'm sorry.
Yes,
take that
them-
is cool.
To the Anchor app. And then today I got emails, which this might come out because like it doesn't by the time hopefully this podcast comes out, people already know this.
Great.
But I give you the whole list of all the things we're on because I'm so excited.
I love it. Bree, I know that you're starting school.
In school, yeah.
You're in school. And myself, I'm actually attempting to get into San Jose Police Department's dispatch. So we'll see how that happens. If it does, I'll be privy to a lot more disasters. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I'll know a lot. And actually, the thing that I was, the disaster that I'm covering, actually will go over a 911 call.
Oh,
well,
nice.
not go
well,
over.
Interesting.
I want to play a portion of that. So it was like,
okay. I was going to tell you. So now we are, of course, on Anchor. We're on Breaker, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and Spotify.
Do you want to start or would you like me to start? Because I found something so cool today.
Do you want to go? Sounds like you really want to go.
I'm so excited.
Okay, go.
Oh, my God. Ah, go. Okay.
Do your thing.
Oh, my God. So, you know, like when you jump on Google and sometimes it celebrates birthdays and blah, blah, blah. So it's actually, I think either the birthday or the death anniversary of the guy who invented like the visually stimulating, what the hell is the optical illusion of something moving. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like when you like,
okay. Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is so like in Google, they showed like a pancake flipping in a pan. I don't know if that was the original one. So if you go to Google today, you can actually see that.
I feel like I saw that today. Oh, yeah.
There's that. I thought that was cool. I mean, I love that Google does that. I think it's great.
Oh, me too.
But I went to Google something. I don't even remember what it was. Now that I think about it, I can't think of what it was off. God, shit. What was it? I honestly can't remember. So I was Googling something and it came up that today is... I'm going to do this. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to draw it. Today is the 30-year anniversary of the Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989.
Oh.
Actually, not today. I take that back. It's not today per se. It's this week. But I wanted to do it because I knew that we were going to release another podcast. And I was like, oh my God, wouldn't it be great if I release this like right around the anniversary of this event?
It'll be within like a few weeks probably.
Okay. But it's close enough because like we're actually podcasting on the same week. So it occurred on October 17th, 1989. And I remember this.
Ooh. Please.
And
go
I was
on.
Gonna be like, interestingly enough, I'm not gonna do that because I'm not saying that anymore.
You can if you want to. No one
Fuck
will judge.
That. Fuck that. I actually do remember it. And I remember it because I came home from school. And that was actually the year that the World Series was occurring between the Oakland A's and the Giants. And I remember this was just me hot off the press coming off of moving from California. Actually, no, I moved from California in, shit, what the fuck year was that? 86, I think, 85. Mm-hmm. Might have even been 84. But I was a 8th grader? I think it was an 8th grader. So in 89, I think it was an 8th grader. Yeah, because high school started in 1990. So in 89, I was an 8th grader. And I remember vaguely seeing newscasts. Because, you know, we come home in the evening and, you know, your mom or your dad had news on because that's what they did in the 80s and 90s, which watch news when they got home from work.
Yeah.
And then we'd all have dinner around the table and blah, blah, blah. So, and I remember seeing this on the news and thinking, holy crap, like that's a lot of devastation, because it was fire. It was earthquake. It was cities in complete ruin. And I thought, whoa, you know? And then I think it was about a year later, the year, the anniversary of this, they released a movie mm-hmm. about one of the rescues that occurred. Oh, and nice. That kind of stuck with me. So when I saw that this was the anniversary, I'm like, oh shit, I've got to do this, you know? So
yeah.
Super excited.
Yes.
That was my Kristen Wiig impression. I was like, oh my God, so exciting. I just watched her recently. So.
Oh yeah. Target Kristen Wiig.
Yes. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Where did you get that? Yes.
Swiffer. Yes. Love her. One of the things that made this exponentially more fun to do was watching or not watching. I guess. Yeah. No, I was watching because I was on the bus home and I watched it on YouTube. So I literally did this just today, was watching the special that was done by, is it NBC? Shit. Now I can't remember. Hold on. Give me 2 seconds. Cause now I got to open my phone and look at what I looked at my YouTubes. And I remember I looked it up cause I saw, 30 year anniversary, NBC Bay Area. So yay. Same company my husband works for. So NBC Bay Area put out a 30 year anniversary documentary. And it was about 46 minutes long. So I watched that on the way home because I ride the bus and hooray for no carbon footprint. I'm awesome. But the guy who narrated it was Peter Coyote. I love Peter Coyote. Love him. And I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing his name right. I don't think it's because it's spelled C-O-Y-O-T-E. That's Coyote. So he has the best voice for documentary. I mean,
I don't know if I know who, maybe it's one of those things I know.
You know him. You've heard it. I'm sure. I'm 100% sure. I mean, you and I are both documentary watchers. I'm 100% sure you've heard Peter Coyote. He's an amazing documentary narrator. And, you know, he's up there. You know, he's sort of the gold standard. And I feel like Mike Rowe is somebody who follows in his footsteps.
Okay.
Like that good. So at some point, because I live in the Bay Area, I am going to be doing the 1906 earthquake, but this, of course, this was related to it. You know what I mean? Like people were just like, oh my God, remember when, you know, so it kind of brought people back into that moment in time. And I will again describe what had happened at that time when we get to that point, but this again stood out for me. So, almost entirely exclusively, my source is going to be this documentary. Mm-hmm. But I did use a little bit of Wikipedia and then a little bit of other YouTube videos, which I'll source as we get to them.
All right.
So picture this. It's a beautiful day. Blue skies. Birds are chirping. 65, 68. You wake up in the morning. It's just gorgeous. California day, you know?
Oh, man. Listen to that narration.
Oh, just putting you in your place here.
I'm really there.
You're there. I want you to feel.
I'm getting a sunburn, but it's okay.
Shit, I forgot my sunblock. So we have a beautiful day. And, you know, it's a great day for baseball on top of it. So I'll get to that in just a second. Mm-hmm. bringing it back to my last episode, or our last episode rather, when I talked about the tsunami, again, we are located in that ring of fire. California is located in that Pacific Rim area where we're located in the ring of fire. Johnny Cash. So, hence,
no copyright. No, no copyright here.
There is no copyright. We're just singing. Fuck off. Yeah. So 1906, that's why it happened. It leveled most of San Francisco. What I didn't know is because it leveled most of San Francisco, since 1906, we built pretty much on a goddamn landfill.
Okay.
Here I was thinking like we were safe, because remember me talking about Florida and sinkholes and it's a fucking swamp. It's built on sand, mud, debris, and clay. A fucking landfill. And I remember hearing one dentist, actually, from the documentary that I was watching, mm-hmm. say that after the earthquake, there were several aftershocks. And when that occurred, when the aftershocks would occur, he said he saw, coming out of the sewage spillways, sand. I was like, that's fucking scary.
Wow.
And I also know it's scary because I just looked at your face, Brie. And she was like, oh,
my
shit.
Jaw did the thing called dropping.
Dropping. The jaw drop. Okay. yeah. So what happened is it started fires. It took out several Bay Area areas. It disabled Santa Cruz. It pretty much leveled Santa Cruz. Crushed the Cypress Freeway in Oakland. So we're going to get into that.
Wow.
We're gonna get into it. I know. And much, much more. So we're in California, in the Bay Area specifically, we are located along two tectonic plates. And those two plates are the North American plate and the Pacific plate. Those two plates, of course, rub together quite often. Whether or not they produce actual earthquakes is, you know, kind of relative to what?
That tension.
Oh,
because they're rubbing together.
Sexual high school tension.
I'm sorry, y'all. We will never get through an episode without some sort of innuendo.
Ever. Ever.
It's how it is.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's how Brie and I are.
We're adults, but we act like we're 12-year-old pubic boys.
She said poopy.
Hee hee poop. Hee hee fart. Hee hee sex things.
Hee hee sex things.
Continue.
Please let that be one of the quotes on our t-shirt someday.
Sex things. Who's making
somebody
this
please
art?
Make it? Anyone out there, make us a t-shirt that says "Hee hee sex things." I will love you forever.
I feel like your husband should be hooking us up with some of these great ideas.
One would think, but the guy's busy right now.
He's so busy. I know.
I know. Poor man never has a moment to rest. Huh? And here I am, his wife podcasting. Fuck you. Make your own dinner.
Oh,
that's
you
horrible.
Work too, at least.
It's called DoorDash. Goddamn.
It is.
Actually, but
we're trying to make a foundation for ourselves here.
Right? Goddamn. I'm not going to be barefoot and naked in the kitchen with having a baby and blah, blah, blah. No, I'm joking. But I do actually have chicken marinating and I have vegetables for cooking out tonight. So
ready
to go. What? Okay. So everybody knows San Andreas Fault is California's largest fault line. It's over 800 miles and it runs right through the Bay Area, folks. Right through us. Just come on in. Open the doors. Here's a fault. Why not? You know? The reported magnitude was a 6.9, but of course, as with almost every earthquake, I feel like there's always a margin of error. It depends on the equipment that's being used. It depends on how close to the epicenter you are. It depends on the reporting equipment verified elsewhere, et cetera, et cetera. So the range is, and I feel like it's more accurate, especially, wow, I sound like Brie.
I'm contagious, I'm telling you.
Shit, girl. Especially with earthquakes, I feel like a range is more appropriate. So they say between 6.3 and 7.2. Mm-hmm. The epicenter was located in the Santa Cruz Mountains. So this, again, is why Santa Cruz was devastated. But the interesting thing is of course, San Francisco got more, I felt like, I don't know that this is true, but I felt like got more notoriety about
it. Yeah, probably because it's a bigger city and they're from more like,
and I mean, wasn't San Francisco a state capital at one point? I swear it was.
Is it Salinas or Sacramento?
No, it's Sacramento.
I think it was just
San Francisco, and I thought there was one other one, but I feel like we've run the gamut with that's paper. God, my dog, I swear to God. Don't, guys, if you don't have time, don't get a puppy. I mean, I'm not saying I don't have time. I do, but I don't. Okay. But I love her so much.
Okay. I'm looking it up now.
Go eat a bone. Okay. Oh. So here's what's interesting. I actually watched another documentary later, which was just a straight documentary of like the actual occurring, like somebody went out and was like, oh, let me film like people talking about what happened.
Yeah.
And they filmed some guy in San Francisco who's like, okay, so it started to shake, and then the fucking earth opened up, and then it swallowed my tools. And I was like, holy shit, like this guy just told me his tools were swallowed. And then he said that he couldn't get them back out because the freaking thing closed.
Whoa.
And I was like, wait, what? So I need to watch that part of the documentary a little more carefully, but I was like, wait, what?
Oh my God.
Because according to this documentary, again, this is the one that was done by NBC Bay Area. And mm-hmm. I feel like, of course, these people, it's NBC. They're going to do their due diligence with research. So I kind of feel like they know better. But they said it was called a blind earthquake, that it didn't break the surface. And I'm like, wait, what? And then maybe they said
it just broke parts of the land, but it didn't like completely crack down the fault, if that's what they mean.
No. Yeah. So it didn't go down the fault line. It didn't break the surface of the fault line. That okay, I do know. Yeah. Yeah. They just said that they thought it was the San Andreas fault line system. Being mm-hmm. that it was like some kind of outskirted area of that system, because it wasn't the San Andreas fault, like per se, that actual fault line. So maybe that's what they meant. So, cool, fascinating part about this whole thing was that it was occurring during the World Series. And best part.
Shit.
I know. Best part. It was a Bay Area World Series, like straight up. And I didn't know this, Bree, because I know that you probably would feel sort of kindred spiritist kind of thing, because I mean, you and I don't follow sports, but baseball is sort of like one of those outlier sports that, like, you know, the nerds and the geeks played and blah, 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 because it was football and whatever.
I mean, Caleb likes the sports.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a Dodger fan. Fuck him. I'm just kidding. MLB. Okay. Oh, I love that little snap. It's my favorite thing to hear.
It's sparkling water, to be fair, but go on.
So I love that this was the first, ladies and gentlemen, Battle of the Bay, or as they called it, a Bay Bridge World Series. So this is a thing now where, you know, the A's play the Giants, and it's a thing. So they played in Candlestick Park, and it was perfect weather. Ladies and gentlemen, perfect. It's beautiful. It was a great day for a game. The A's won the first two games. They had a 5 o'clock start, and they got 4 minutes in, and they had an earthquake.
Oh, four minutes in?
4 minutes into the game.
Wow.
So game three, 4 minutes in, and somebody was talking about something. There's several announcers, and then Al Michaels said, I'm going to interject here. I think we're having an earthquake. And at that point, radio, TV, power, everything went out, right?
Damn.
Came back on. And so I wrote my book, Tell What Sportscaster Said, LOL. Okay, so apparently funny. So the sportscaster, Al Michael, I know I'm trying to jog my memory here. The sportscaster at the time, Al Michaels, had said that he had thought it was a bunch of teenage kids taking bats to the stands above him. That's what he thought was going on. And he's like, okay, this is going on a little bit longer and it's a little more violent. I don't think this is the case. And then the power started to flicker. So he's like, okay, that's when he said, guys, I think we're having an earthquake. And I was like, oh shit. So the best part, and I also put in here asterisk sign, LOL. So somebody wrote, I know my own handwriting, trust me. The look on Bree's face just now, she's like, what the fuck does that mean? So somebody wrote a sign apparently right after, because there's no way they could have done this before, because it said, mention the earthquake, but they said, our batting average is going to show you what a real quake is. Welcome to California on the other side. And I was like, fuck yeah.
I love that.
California's in a nutshell, people. They're really like that. They recuperate quickly. And especially when it comes to a baseball game, they're hardcore baseball fans.
I mean, they paid their money. They're going to watch their game.
Oh, for sure. Oh no, it gets better. Let me tell you about that.
Oh, please continue.
Yes. So it's shaking in the stadium for 15 seconds. Not too long. No, it's half a minute. It's half a minute. It's not half a minute.
Brett, oh my God. It's a quarter.
Why don't you learn how to tell time?
I think this is, you've done this a couple of times.
Fuck my life. Can't tell time. And this is why my husband hates me.
I'm the math major. Okay. I'm here for you.
Also why I'm late to literally everything. Mm-mm. Okay.
Oh.
Where was I? Okay. Okay. So the crowd acted like nothing happened. Like immediately recuperated, immediately in a snap, boom, recuperated.
Uh-uh.
And within 15 to 20 minutes, they were chanting, start the game, start the game. They were desperate for baseball. Fuck the earthquake. Let's play a game. Meanwhile, the Marina fire is going on. So not too far from there
is a fire.
The city is on fire. And also the Bay Bridge collapsed. And also Cyprus freeway collapsed. So here we are, several shit going in. And so about 15, 20, 30 minutes into the game, people start going, shit, city's going down. Shit, city's going down. So they stop the game.
Yeah. I mean,
and they call the game. They were
to
like,
be
hey.
Fair, they should stop it anyways because they have to double check the stadium and make sure everything's okay. Like you're supposed to evacuate usually.
Oh, I've got there more could on be,
that. Huh?
I've got more on
oh,
that.
Oh, continue.
I'm like, just you wait. Ah. So come here.
So I'm guessing I'm probably right. So go on.
Yes, you are probably almost 100% right. Here's what I think.
As usual.
Yes. So the game was called because of emergency.
Yeah. Okay?
So they're like, look, San Francisco's in dire straits. You all need to get home to your families, to your homes, you know, make sure that everybody's safe, yada, yada, yada. The cool part about this, and I think this is amazing, and again, a testament to humanity that there is still some semblance of it left. Mm-hmm. Al Michaels, who is a sportscaster, and I don't know if he's been with NBC Sports his whole life, but I feel like he has, and correct me if I'm wrong, people, he reported for 12 more hours.
Wow.
And again, game's done, y'all. Game's done.
So he's just reporting.
He's reporting because he was born and raised in the Bay Area, again, is my understanding, and knew the area. He said at one point he could tell you exactly where that fire broke out, and he named the street, down to the street. So he was using the blimp and the overhead helicopter cams to let people know what was going on. Loved
That's it. Amazing.
Loved it. And I was like, man, what a guy. Yeah. It's amazing. So
he's a little like us. He's a little fascinated by it, I'm sure too.
Oh, I'm sure. And I mean, it's that stuff stayed with him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The World Series was on hold. Mm-hmm. And the Giants and the A's actually stayed to help. So a lot of guys Aww. Stayed in the area to help. So they talked about one guy, Dave Stewart, I think, who said he drove past the Cyprus Highway and was like, mm-hmm. "Holy shit, I got to do something," and actually went out and started like helping people, you know.
Aww.
So love it.
Look for the heroes. Look for the helpers.
I know.
Love that phrase.
Strong aftershocks continued for days.
Oh, yeah.
Days. And people didn't know if Candlestick would hold. So they held off. And of course, the mayor was like, look, I don't want to be the mayor that was known as the person who stopped the World Series. And at one point, somebody suggested, and I can't remember who it was, if it was an engineer or something, but basically somebody was like, hey, why don't we bring it down to San Diego? And I think it was the owner of the Giants, maybe. I can't remember from the direct quote, but they were like, over my dead body. And I was like, dude, wrong choice of words, bro.
But also how serious they take all that.
But the mayor was like, look, I'm not going to also be known as the mayor who let the World Series continue while we still are pulling bodies out. This is not happening. You know what I mean? So they had to come to some kind of agreement. So 10 days later, they had engineers go through the stadium and they're like, okay, you're clear. So then they continued the game. But of course, it went very, very quickly. And mm-hmm. the A's won. What? A's World Series that year.
Wow.
Okay. Huge fan. Always been an A's fan. Since I was a little kid.
Kale's an A's fan too. A's and Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all have our teams, you know? All right.
I'm a League of Their Own fan.
The ladies. Yeah. I like it, the ladies.
I didn't mean it like that, but sure.
Cleared. And again, the mayor didn't want to be known for, you know, sending people into a game when he fully could have people being rescued. Okay. Mm-hmm. 80 miles away. From Santa Cruz to San Fran. So the actual epicenter occurred in the Santa Cruz Mountains on a hill known as Loma Prieta. So that's where they get the name of the earthquake from. So Santa Cruz, naturally, hugely affected. But I continue on with a story that they also talked about in this documentary. Tim Peterson was a 24-year-old Treasure Island Fire Department worker. Like, he was a firefighter, right?
Yeah.
So he worked on Treasure Island. I've only been to Treasure Island once, and we did wine tasting and beer, and it was fabulous.
Oh, nice.
But other than that, it was an old shipyard. I think it was meant there. I think that what they did is they basically made it as like a military base kind of thing, and like it just kind of went to nowhere. And like, there's a handful of people living there, and I don't know too much about it, but
yeah.
Anyway, so this particular guy was rushing home on the I-880, to try and catch the game. Okay. So he's rushing home. It's like 4:30, 4:45, 4:58. You know, he's like, shit, gotta get home for the game. And he's like, he said it was hauling ass and it wasn't the usual traffic. He said, usually, you know, I think he said Tuesday afternoon. So I'd have to double check that. But he said Tuesday afternoon traffic was usually pretty hectic around the time. And he said he recalled, and this is crazy, he recalled looking to his right and seeing a Beamer with a woman. And then he looked to his left and there was a truck with like a gardener, some kind of landscaper type thing, right? Mm-hmm. And he said in the second that he saw the car to his right and then the car to his left, he looked forward and everything went black. And I'm like, oh, shit. What the fuck?
What happened?
So he said he felt a small shake and then all of a sudden everything went black. On the I-80, he happened to be in the section. And the I-880 at that point in the section that he was at was the Cypress Freeway. That's where it collapsed for about a mile and a half.
Wow.
So they actually have footage of that on the internet. So Brie, our fabulous social media extraordinaire, would like to post a couple pictures or video, it is available and it's pretty impressive to see. And again, we're not glorifying death. We're not glorifying disaster. We're just informing. So
yeah,
they knew that that was a troubled highway. And that's the sad part. They knew that that highway was a shit show to begin with. And they tore it down after this occurred. So it crushed. So there was, again, the Beamer and the truck on either side, and it crushed his pickup truck. He said within the first half hour, he just remembers tons of screaming and a ton of horns, car horns, just blaring. He said the crazy part was hearing it for about a half an hour until they died because
they were stuck.
Yeah, you're stuck, but the horns would blare until the battery wore out. And I was like, oh, crazy. So it was one mile area of the Cypress Freeway. And again, you can see that online that it actually literally collapsed just on itself. So the top part of it just poof. And it's just like a sandwich. It was crazy to watch.
Yeah.
So, he was pinned at the legs. He had both of his ankles broken. His shoulder was broken. His entire left side rib cage, all broken.
Wow.
And he was wide awake. And he was like, okay, I'm going to see myself die right now. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So, Nina, stop it. No, no. Sorry, my dog is eating my rug. So, he said that he was rescued by a guy named Andy Papp, and it took about 6 hours. He was rescued, went to the emergency room, got taken care of, yada, yada, yada. Years later, he was actually hired by the same guy who saved him.
Oh, holy shit.
Wound up being his captain. And so he worked in, yeah, all right. And he worked for a fire department and worked with that guy for 15 years. And he's like, look, I call him every year on October 17th. That's like his thing. And it's pretty cool. And he's like, it's nothing crazy. We don't rehash it. He's like, just at the end of conversation, I make it a point to say, hey, if you weren't there, I wouldn't be here today. So thanks, man. And that's it.
I'm trying not to cry right now.
I know. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
I don't mean to do that to you.
It's like I said earlier, like look for the helpers, but those kind of stories just really touch me.
Yes. And so that was amazing. You know, I absolutely love that. Even better story. And I think this one was actually made into like a TV movie. Mm-hmm. James Bettis is a pediatric surgeon in the area. And he was called upon because there was a young boy who is still alive in a car. They pulled, I think, a baby from there.
Wow.
And I don't know if the baby survived. I can't remember. But there was two women in the car. And then there was 6-year-old Julio. I can't figure out the last name. But Morgan, I fucking hate my handwriting on the bus. I can't. Barrowman. Because I think I thought it was Berryman. It's Barrowman.
Okay.
It's Barrowman. But Barrowman.
Barrow, yeah.
So he had his right leg pinned. So he basically, when the car got smashed, he got shoved under the front seat. Ooh. And this is the kicker. And this was very disturbing. And of course, here's me being Brett, loving the macabre. Like, this is what I do. But, you know, and I've always been okay with it and whatever. Anyway, I'm like, again, not glorifying, but they were given a choice. So one, their choice was, okay, hey, we're still having aftershocks. You shouldn't be up here. And he said that they made a commitment to stay there and rescue who they needed to rescue or waited until they died. So he knew there was a 6-year-old boy there. And he said, I'm going to stay here until this boy either dies or we rescue him. So they didn't care about the aftershocks, regardless of the warnings. And so, and that's got to be a tough thing. I can imagine like being on a bridge, knowing that it's already collapsed, knowing that it could collapse further. Fuck y'all. I'm here to rescue people. And I was like, wow, that's insane. So this guy did this. And at one point he said that there was a woman's body that was making it so he couldn't reach the little boy. And he said, she's dead. We're going to have to cut her out of there. And they were like, well, we can't do this with surgical equipment. It's going to take too long. And so they asked the firefighters, do you have a chainsaw? And I was like, oh God. And so I'm listening to this and I mean, my jaws dropped and I'm listening to this and I'm like, oh my God. But the firefighters said, yes, we have a chainsaw. No, we're not going to do that. So they left it in the surgeon's hands. So here's a surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
Using a chainsaw, and he's having to cut the body parts of a family friend and his mother out of the car in order to rescue him. So I'm hoping this kid isn't cognizant because they said he kept losing consciousness. And I'm like, oh, God, please let him have lost consciousness during this. And he didn't indicate that he knew as such, but I'm sure he knew, you know?
Yeah.
So they rushed him to the hospital. He said he lost 50 to 60% of his blood volume, but he was still treated and he survived.
Yay.
They wound up having to amputate his right leg, but
yeah,
he survived. And actually, interestingly enough, and I said I would only say that once, so there it is. They rescued his sister and he was treated with his sister by the same surgeon at the same hospital. I was like, yay. So the guy got to see the whole family, met the father. Told him what happened, whatever. But he said, even though he doesn't remain in contact with him now, he did treat them quite extensively throughout their youth. And I was like, that's awesome. So
yeah.
Cool part, the guy became a volunteer firefighter and SWAT volunteer.
The boy?
Yeah. The surgeon.
Okay. Dang.
The goddamn surgeon. Like, when do you have time to volunteer firefight? But this guy fucking does it. I love him. Love him. James Bettis. Love you. Okay. So, the Bay Bridge collapsed. That part was fucking crazy to watch. So I listened to a 911 call where somebody goes, hey, the Bay Bridge just collapsed. They were like, wait, what? Bay Bridge just collapsed. And they actually have somebody who's filming and you watch a fucking truck just drive off and go, whoop, disappear.
Oh.
I'm like, holy shit. And then this girl goes, oh, there goes another one. I'm like, oh, fuck. So the upper deck, there's a 50-foot section of the upper deck of the Bay Bridge that collapsed. There was the police chief and the mayor within 30 minutes. Within 30 minutes, they got in the air and they tried to assess the damage and like, holy shit. They were like, this is crazy. It's this killed everything.
Yeah.
That's when they started to notice that the marina was on fire. So.
Oh, wow.
Next step. Fires. So again, built on landfills, the land collapsed and then it took with it lots of people's pipes. And so there's, I didn't hear anything about water main breaks, which is interesting, but I heard a lot about fires caused by gas leaks. And I was like, oh shit. So broken gas lines caused the fires to erupt. Hydrants weren't working. Like, okay, so there clearly had to be water breaks somewhere.
Yeah, there had to be.
Because if fire hydrants weren't working, then what the fuck? So they were like, okay, what do we do? Two blocks away, there was a boat, a firefighting boat called the Phoenix.
Okay.
Oh, saved the day. It pumped water from the bay and residents carried the freaking hoses. It was so cool to watch that residents were like grabbing the hose and running. I loved it. And they did this for 15 hours. They worked.
Holy shit.
They worked to try and put those fires. They finally got the fire control under damage. I didn't realize it, but Joe DiMaggio had a home in the Marina District that was affected by the fires.
Oh, wow.
And one of the cool things to hear was the mayor talk about the actual happening, like when that occurred, and how he actually recognized Joe and walked up to him and was like, hey, you know, what can I do for you? And he's like, oh, you know, I got a home up there. I was just going to go check on it. And he's like, well, you know, we can put you in this line and we'll get you right up front. And he's like, no. I want to be treated like everybody else. And I was like, oh God, I love this man.
Yeah.
Love Joe DiMaggio. So I don't know if he lost his home, but it was definitely affected. What I thought was really unusual, and I don't know if they have documentation of this or if, I mean, like I said, it's an NBC documentary.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been done by all white people. Again, like racism comes into play. Who knows? But
yeah.
And also, it's San Francisco. You know, there's not many areas that are not well-to-do in San Francisco, you know, albeit there's, you know, a handful of bad neighborhoods. But
neighborhoods, such a weird, it's a term that a lot of people don't use anymore.
Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But here's me, 43 years old. I'm a child of like growing up where I was like, that's a bad neighborhood. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know I'm being incorrect politically speaking regards to this, but it said one of the things I thought that was really unusual about this documentary is that they said that there was no looting and no crime.
Huh.
And I don't know if it's because of the extent of the disaster, the type of disaster, because it was surrounded around the whole Bay Area, Battle of the Bay Area World Series thing. And there was always this, you know, like when the World Series is going on, everybody has this sort of feel good vibe anyway. And maybe, I don't know.
Maybe not enough electricity went out too, because it kind of usually.
No, I heard all of it went out.
Oh.
I mean, the.
Dang.
I heard that it was literally, there were blackouts everywhere.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting because, I mean, how many people like to write just because their team won nowadays?
Right. So
1989, you have an
earthquake. One wonders. I mean, it's 1989. There's time to loot, but nobody does it, you know?
Interesting.
And let's see. Building searches lasted 4 to 5 days and they formed something called NERT. I love NERT.
Neighborhood.
It was a neighborhood emergency response team.
Yeah, my husband NERT. Was on that.
NERT.
Okay, with it, I can't remember. It might be called. Oh, it's just NET here. It's this neighborhood emergency team, but they do the same thing. So you did that.
So
for a
this
while.
Is neighborhood emergency response team. So NERT, love it. Love the name, and they're still around.
Yeah.
And still active. So awesome.
Which, if you want to volunteer, you can look for your local NERT or NET or, you know, like there's various kind of programs that do that.
Yes. Go nuts, people. We love volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So downtown Santa Cruz was the most affected because it was pretty much in ruins. All of the local brick buildings had collapsed. They did a little expose on a cool place called Bookshop in Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
The building itself had collapsed almost entirely. They gave the guy a couple of days to go in and rescue as many books as he could. And he said that he rescued this little wooden horse that's still in their bookshop today. Love it. Family-owned bookshop that's been around for 50 years. So pretty cool. They're established and back in action. During that particular, I say rescue mission. I mean, there when that collapsed, when the wall went down, it took out two people. Robin Ortiz and Sean McCormick. Sean McCormick was found first, and because it took so long to find Robin, people were flipping out and angry. There's no goddamn power. So it's like they're trying to get lights to shine in the areas where they need to search. It's exceedingly dangerous. There's lots of two-story structures that have fallen and collapsed. There are still aftershocks. And the public went nuts because they're like, you're not doing enough to find Robin.
Oh my gosh.
Then they had to take half of their resources and put it into crowd control. And it's like, why would you do that when you need to focus on finding the person?
Yeah.
So I was kind of pissed off about that.
I don't think people really understand how much it takes to find, because also if they're under rubble, like you, sometimes you literally cannot lift that rubble
with
a person, which I'm going to be going over in my disaster. Like we have some things that mirror, but like, oh, okay, go on before I get extra furious.
I'm going to get pissed off. No, believe me, you have something to be pissed off about. So they finally did find her. And of course, again, her and Sean were the only two to be the fatalities there in Santa Cruz. Cool thing, they actually, the city provided $20,000 to give tents to each store so they could go through the holidays. Because that was their sort of their way to proceed through the next year was their holiday sales. So I didn't realize this, but the bookstore actually wound up being an outdoor store in a tent for 3 freaking solid years.
Oh, wow.
I'd say I would be surprised, but at the same time, after living in California for 2 years, I'm kind of not, because building and building codes out here are a bitch to get through.
Yeah.
But anyway, they finally have a storefront. And again, they've been around for 50 years and they still have that sweet little rocking horse there. So yay.
Aww.
The area of the Cypress Freeway has been torn down, rebuilt appropriately. The Bay Bridge, of course, repaired appropriately. I would say that from this, we learned a lot. I think we did, but the problem is that when we don't have these bigger earthquakes, we get complacent and we get to a point where we're like,
Yeah, we're fine.
It's not going to happen. I'll be fine and whatever. Yeah. But you just don't know. And when I watched videos, I mean, I was just like, shit. If I was in that, you know, there's one guy who was, I think he was a police officer in Santa Cruz or a communications officer or something. Mm-hmm. And he was at home. His dog jumped out of a window that burst open.
Oh.
And he took a cue from the dog and was like, fuck yeah. And he followed him right out the same window.
Wow.
The front door.
Okay.
The door was already gone. You know, but, you know, animals know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they tend to know.
Yeah. And I just, yeah, we definitely, like I said, I'm cognizant in that I have a bug out bag. I'm prepared in the event if we have something go wrong to just grab my two animals and get the fuck out, GTFO.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just, you never know when you're in certain circumstances, you just don't know. And so here's the 30 year anniversary. And I think they're playing this to be like, hey, this is a reminder. The San Andreas goes through Fremont, and Fremont hasn't had a significant event since the 1860s. And they say they're usually tracked at happening about every 140 years. You know, you do the math, here we are. We're ready. And the problem with Fremont is it's an urban area.
Yeah.
So we need to be ready, y'all. So that's my event. That's my disaster for today.
Wow. That was interesting. I've heard about that. I would have been two and in California.
Yeah.
Somewhere in California. I might've been in Paso. Cause when the earthquake I was in like Parkfield, but I think it's off the San Andreas fault. I could be wrong though. But I think I mean, probably not because it's me, but just kidding.
But it's me.
Just kidding. Wow.
So there it is.
That was really interesting. I didn't realize how much damage. There I go. Interesting. How much.
That's why I was laughing. I was like, ha ha, you did it.
Oh, I do it all the time. That is very fascinating how much damage happened from one earthquake.
Right. And like I said, I think we just kind of forget, but I'm glad that NBC Bay Area did this documentary because it's just a reminder. Hey guys, we are on a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
We are on borrowed time, you know, here, and make the best of it, y'all.
Yeah. And be prepared for your animals too.
Yep.
You ready for mine?
Bring it.
Okay. So mine has some kind of like, oh, wow moments too. And I was kind of scared about having to say it until you kind of went through yours. And I was like, okay, that makes it a little bit better.
Aw, don't be scared.
You'll see why.
Because you're like, oh shit, is she doing the same one?
No. Because you'll see why. You'll get it. I think it's this like, hey, there's a trigger warning because there's some intense stuff that happens.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
So I'm doing the Hyatt Regency walkway collapse.
Oh, fuck.
So have you heard of this?
You know what? No.
You have? No. Oh, you're like, it is sounds I'm like, intense.
You know what? No. I have not.
So I didn't have to go through too much references for this one. So this list is a little bit shorter, but I think I have a good amount of information and I try to get some more personal experience stories. So hopefully that helps, but we'll see.
Okay. All right,
so I used Wikipedia, interesting engineering and timeline. Again, this is an engineering thing that kind of changed some things. And it's used in like engineering videos and like architecture classes.
So it changed statutes.
Yeah. Well, mostly. Good. Yeah. Well, kind of. There were statues in that were ignored. Well, that's another part of the story. And then
it you know what, fuck is, your statutes. I don't need them. I'm going to ignore them.
It's a lesson. It's a lesson okay. that they use. An example in schools when they're talking about structure, building, and stuff. So like great. Civic engineering.
Excellent.
All right. So in May of 1978, construction started on the 40-story hotel, the Hyatt Regency in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay.
During construction, the roof collapsed, which was about 2,700 square foot of the roof.
That's and, okay.
Yeah, no. And this is during the building, which I don't know if you all saw, but recently in New Orleans, during construction, part of the hotel broke. It happened the other day.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's New Orleans. So it made me think of this too, because okay. it's just like off the side. So this was one of the many reasons that the construction actually took longer than they thought, because there was other delays that happened too. Oh. So finally, July 1st in 1980, the hotel officially opened. Woo!
Yay!
So this hotel sounds so gorgeous. And I think for the time being, 1981 is kind of modern.
Okay.
So the hotel lobby incorporated a multi-story atrium, and it had elevated walkways suspended from the ceiling. So you walk.
Okay, so right there. I'm sorry, but right there, that's like a big no for me. I'd be like, wait, suspended from the what? No.
I mean, that's something that you might see, though, in other places, I think.
Well, like more definitely. Advanced places like Japan, where they've got
yeah.
down pat. But yeah, no, I'm not going to do it.
So, so it's like you go in the lobby and you look up and it's this empty space in the middle, you know,
okay.
with the walkways to at least the fourth floor, maybe higher. So the walkways were made of steel and glass and concrete and was connected to the second, third, and fourth floors between north and south wings.
Okay.
So I guess there's three of them. I kept trying to figure out if there was more, but there was at least three. The third one was, I guess, kind of by itself, the third floor one, but the second and fourth floor were like on top of each other. So the fourth one, and then under that was the second floor one. Does that make sense?
Okay, wait, one more time.
So there is the fourth floor walkway, okay. and then okay. directly under that was the second floor. In fact, they were connected with the same rods.
Okay. Okay, now I think I get it.
So walkways were approximately 120 feet long and weighed approximately 64,000 pounds.
Jesus. Okay.
And as all I right. said, the fourth floor walkway was directly above the second.
Okay.
So it's Friday, July 17th, 1981.
Oh, I'm picturing it.
Okay. About a year after it was open, there was a tea dance in the lobby, which is a dance in general. And apparently it was like a lot of elderly couples there. It had about 1600 people in the like atrium area. So the second walkway had about 40 people.
Okay.
And the third, there was some more on the third, and then there was about 16 to 20 more people on the fourth walkway. And as Duke Ellington's Satin Ball is playing, guests heard popping sounds, and then the fourth walkway dropped several inches.
Okay.
So it was like so pop,
sounds is the first thing. Like, yeah. I mean, if you're not, you're at a ball, you're not going to expect to hear popping sounds.
No.
That's either gunshot, popcorn, or shit's falling. That's my take on it.
I mean, or it could be a tank full of molasses.
Or it could be a tank full of molasses, because that's also a popping noise as well. I forgot about that too.
Yeah. So if you haven't listened to that episode, maybe you should now.
Maybe you get one that or the joke. Other.
So hear popping and the fourth floor, I imagine it too, is like kunk, you know, and then it pauses and then it falls straight down. both walkway straight down into the lobby.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that means you had a sandwich of people again, like kind of how you were talking about with the bridges sandwiching together.
Yeah.
Walkways did the same thing.
Oh, that's an awful visual.
Oh yeah. There's videos. I did not watch them because after reading the things, I'm like, I'm good. People, it's up to them.
I mean, just like I said, my morbid curiosity. I'm always like, ooh, what's this?
Yeah. I don't know if I can, but people might find it. I don't know. So I think more so of like why you pay attention in the class if you're an architect or engineer, really.
Right.
Dust made the visibility difficult as well. The sprinkler system went off and the power was turned off to prevent fires. Did I say the power turned off? Yeah. The power was turned off to prevent fires.
Okay. And I get that. That makes sense.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if I said that.
I mean, if the sprinklers are going, you don't want them to ignite something that's your power. Yeah.
Well, and like sprinklers are going and then just because of the things falling, maybe it hit a wire or something that was like off, you know. Things could happen. Things would be exposed. And then the sprinklers that they had were actually hooked up to tanks and not the like water system. So they couldn't just turn them off because they're like emergency sprinklers, the fire.
So they basically would run until they drain.
Yeah. So all this damage that came in kind of made the atrium. It like there was a dam created with some of the stuff. So the lobby atrium area started filling up with water. So people who are stuck in this rubble had a chance of drowning. They might drown before dying because they're pinned or something.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Like there's just so many ways that you could die. And they had like people laying on them. And like one girl was saying that there was a lady that was on her ankle that was screaming and screaming and screaming. And she was trying to tell the like elderly lady, like, calm down, like take a breath, calm down. And then she's like, then she stopped screaming. Because she died. It's
calm down and shut up. It's like one of those circumstances you're like, I told her to shut up. And then she shut up because she died.
Yeah. But it's one of those things like also it's good to try to be calm in those situations, like for yourself too.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Let's see where I'm at. Dust made. Okay. So then right away they started the rescue operation. And like the firefighters came in and then they were trying to lift the debris and stuff with their jacks. But this was 60 tons of debris. So this is 60 tons of concrete, steel, and glass.
That's a lot.
That's so much. So they have jacks that couldn't pretty much do much. So they kind of like made a call out for volunteers who had like construction tools like jackhammers and concrete cutters. People brought chainsaws and torches.
Caterpillars.
They try to bring bulldozers, but those did nothing. So they actually brought cranes in and like the arm, the boom of the crane, they just busted it through the lobby window so they could start lifting the stuff off.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's crazy. And so they had concrete saws to cut things off too. And it's like a really gruesome scene. Cause like I said, it's the bodies intertwined with the wreckage. And then they made like, there's I think it's like the driveway was a temporary morgue and they had priests going around, like giving people their
last rites.
Yeah. Their last rites.
Oh, that's awful.
And then they had like a place, a place for victims. They had a place for the already dead. And then they had the priest there. And then the good thing, I mean, I say this relatively because what else I'm going to be saying is they had morphine and pain relievers. So
wait, they have morphine and pain relievers? How?
From the paramedics and stuff. They brought them in. Yeah.
I was like, dang, did they just have that? The opening of the gallon?
That was in their tea.
Hey, guys. We've got a morphine martini.
Yeah. As soon as the doctors and people came in, they had all those things.
Administering drugs. Okay. Good. Yeah. Well, at least no pain, right?
Yeah. Like taking away that pain. And then, so Joseph Wakerly directed the others. He's a doctor and he was like a sports doctor and emergency director, medical director as well. So he was kind of like the head honcho that you go to. And he was like giving people the directions to do stuff.
And at least there's somebody there giving direction.
Yeah. And it's pretty gnarly how they had to save some of the survivors because some had to get amputated. while they're alive.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was gonna say while they're alive. Yes. So that part sucks.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just like the Dr. Bettis, the cutting apart mom and cutting apart the family member. And then of course having to cut off the kid's leg. So yeah, I mean, it's, you gotta do what you gotta do, you know?
Well, one surgeon had to amputate a victim's crushed leg with a chainsaw also.
Oh yeah.
So that's why I was like, this is a lot of cutting. And I think it was kind of like, cutting of body parts. I mean, I've watched Breaking Bad, but come on. And I think one of the things is like having to kind of like your situation, like having to cut people who are not alive to get to other victims.
Right. Right.
So as I was saying, the sprinklers went off. And so there was this guy, Mark Williams, who was stuck with both legs pinned and he was so close to drowning, but they finally got the water. Wikipedia says water turned off, but that's not what happened because it's on a tank. So this is why I'm glad I read more, was the fire department had to come in, get a pipe, connect the pipe to their hose to release that water to go somewhere else. So they just redirected the water.
Oh, okay.
So it stopped being going in the hallway, so into the lobby. So pretty crazy. Like I said, 14 hours. And then later on, as they're cleaning it up, they thought they got everyone. And then they lift one of the walkways and there's more victims
that they didn't
find.
No.
So because of this, 114 died and 216 were injured.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of people. That's like
a lot given that, I mean, like you think about natural disaster or even man-made disaster or whatever the case may be. And it's like, you're thinking like, hundreds of thousands, depending on the scale of it. Oh, geez. Sorry, my dog just jumped in a minute. You're thinking about the scale of it, but I feel like this is such a small scale given where it's at.
Yeah.
But it's like that many? That's kind of surprising.
And I was thinking about it because I was like, that's a lot that many people were affected by this because it's over 300 people that were affected. Yeah. But when you also think about their big walkways are heavy. So you have the people on the first and the second and then all the people under. So
that's
people getting crushed by it that were under in the lobby and how far it had to come down. And probably like there's a chance that they could have died from something bouncing off and hitting them because like there's probably a good amount of force because everything's so heavy. And like you're saying, it's a lot of people. So the World Trade Center towers from 9/11 is the most deadly structural collapse, which I think is like 3,000. I could be wrong.
Okay.
But death. So this is the second.
Wow.
So first off, that's a huge difference.
Right.
But still that's why we go, wow, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And what makes me so mad is the reason why.
And oh, it's no.
Infuriating.
Oh no. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Well, I think our podcast listeners might. So, and what you said too, Michael Lonshar said it looked like human sandwich when he looked at the damage. Yeah. He was like one of the people there. So Gilliam and Associates was like a firm of like engineers and I think architects. So they prepared.
Is it Gilliam or Gilman?
Gilman or Gilliam.
Gilliam. Okay.
Gilliam. Yeah. Thanks. Gilliam. So Gilliam and Associates prepared drawings that were only sketches. Okay. However, Haven Steel, who was providing the steel and stuff, took them as finalized, finished drawings.
Oh, no. Always double check.
Yes.
I feel like if you're, I don't know, I would assume that the steel company, those are like not necessarily the engineers, but the people who make the engineer dream happen. But they have things in place to, that's sad.
So then Haven still created those proposed plan with the sketches. And without looking at the plan thoroughly, Gilliam and Associates accepted the plan. And this means the necessary calculations were not done. And it was not done to give them a chance to actually spot the design flaw of the design. And it was actually an altered design flaw in there. So as I was reading, it was saying the original design flaw was actually, it would only be 60% of the load required, like the low, what was that? Like load bearing, but like how much the load could hold. It was so only 60%
it was
of
a Titanic disaster, because when you think about it, they were like, oh, this will hold this many people. And if there's never an accident, blah, blah, blah. And then they miscalculated and were like, well, there's not enough lifeboats, but that'll never happen.
Yeah. Well, so without everyone doing what their due diligence,
okay, you're allowed to say that once.
Hey, you said it a couple times, I think, now. It is true. One of my favorite words now.
It is.
And this includes, so they didn't look it thoroughly, and an engineer at Gillum and Associates accepted the plan over the phone. So I'm real curious if he had the plan in front of me, because this is like 1981, so it's not like, hey, I emailed it to you. Maybe they could fax it, but I don't know with plans, because usually I imagine like big blueprints.
No, I could be wrong. If it's blueprints, at that, in the 80s, I think they actually put them in like in the mail or had a courier.
Yeah. So I don't know if they were just like, yeah, sure, that sounds good. So what happened, which see who can understand this, because I was trying to read it and it's still kind of confusing. If you look at pictures of the bolts, it makes more difference. So I'll probably post one of those.
Yeah.
So the box spring, poopahiki.
The box spring. You making mattresses? What's
apparently.
That?
So the box beam split along a well, and this is like on the ceiling, which they weren't supposed to be attached to. So they split along a weld, and then the nut supporting them slipped through the resulting gap. So that was the first few inches that like dropped. Then the nut that was needed was in the upper side of the box beams, which failed, causing the collapse.
Oh, shit.
And this alternate plan that they had could only hold 30% of what it said it could hold.
Oh, of course.
So, 60% prior is already, like, not much, like, you know, not holding enough for sure. But, like, I just don't see even 60%, like, low body fat and weight still isn't enough.
No.
I imagine. Because 60%. No. And that was compared to the Kansas City building, like structure laws. So they done fucked up.
That's bad. Real bad.
Yeah.
That's real bad.
So, this is like part of the, and this is another, like, I think this was in the sketch where part of the design had the fourth floor walkway holding the second walkway, even though the fourth floor one was designed to only hold 30% of the load. So okay. I think 30% of the second walkway, because it's already like 60 and then 30. So they're not held by a lot of rods at all. And it all comes down to like lack of communication, because there wasn't proper communication. 300 people were physically affected, and that's not going to their families and stuff for a night that's supposed to be a really fun time. And, you know, they're supposed to be drinking and, you know, dancing with their boo and
festivities
having
festivities and a night of enjoyment.
Yeah. Well, 18 couples passed.
Oh
yeah. So that means people's parents passed, people, you know, like,
I don't know. It's the positive person in me that goes, well, at least they passed together, because I'm sorry. If it was you and me, we would want to pass with our husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Go together.
No, that's true. That's true.
We go down, then we go down together. Sorry.
I mean, I would mostly prefer just not to go down, though.
Right. I would also not. And literally, in this case, it was down.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to say another asshole thing is like, at least they look nice before, too, because it was like a dance, but.
Oh, still.
That's so
disheartening. Yes, I want to look good when I go down. I want to be wearing clean underwear, you know, like that whole situation.
I mean, it's not going to be clean anymore, but engineers responsible for the collapse had their licenses revoked, as well as Gillum and Associates had their license revoked.
As they fucking should.
Yep. They got sued, but ended up getting acquitted. And then part of it was getting their licenses revoked. So Hallmark owns Regents. Yeah. Hyatt. Thank you. Hallmark owns them. And so they had to do a lot of payouts.
Wait, Hallmark, the gift card company, the company.
Yeah.
Parts.
Yeah. So they were sued.
Wow.
From like, you know, victims were awarded about $140 million plus like insurance payouts. So
good. You don't have your family.
Yeah.
That's not even enough.
It's not exactly. That's the thing is, I think me and you are always going to agree when it's a man-made disaster, it's just so hard when you are being paid. This is what you do. This is what you went to school for, to make safe buildings. And you just, you done fucked up. Like, yeah. I don't know what else to say other than you done fucked up.
Yeah.
So yeah.
For sure.
Can you tell I'm so frustrated with these people? So yeah.
So pissed off.
So respect to all those volunteers and firefighters and like all the people who helped and bring in their tools and
amen for them.
Yeah. Amen for them. And
yeah.
Yeah. That was,
that damn. Was
it. Yeah.
That was quick and dirty and painful. Yeah. And whoa.
Yeah. And ah. You see how there's like similarities with like the bodies. And that's why I was like, oh, no, I right. feel like I can actually say this.
And the whole before. Squishing of the, yeah. I mean, it's yeah. like when something collapses, like that makes a big impression.
Yeah. It's definitely,
yeah.
Wow. It gave me the heebie-jeebies a little reading about it. And so my buddy Mike, he's one of my math buddies, he's actually given me a couple suggestions that are engineering-based. And this one was like, he's like, I know in your class, but I don't want to forget. And so he told me about this. And he's like, you know, be careful because even the Wikipedia article is really like gruesome. And I was like, okay.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I'd say.
Thank you. So there's another one that he recommended to me. And then I found a whole list of them that eventually.
Oh my God.
So I'm going to be hopping around. Yeah. It's okay. Nice to be able to hop around to different kinds of disasters.
And for sure. I mean, you know, like I said, my whole thing was I was going to do Andrew this time. And then I was
yeah.
oh, and stopped fine. In my tracks. I mean, you saw what I sent you yesterday about Japan. I thought, yeah. holy shit. Like, this Japan stuff's happened left and right. We can, at this point, we can cherry pick because the world is falling apart.
And the fires in California are still going.
Frick.
And then, yeah, that New Orleans
I mean, at least
hotel.
I can breathe, but, you know, holy shit. Yeah. It's intense, you know?
No, it's, I think there's already 2 fatalities from it too. So
fuck.
It's heartbreaking. So yeah. And I think we don't have to tell each other what we're going to do because we can make it surprises too, but.
Oh my God, I love it.
I have a hard time holding it in. Yeah. Tonight was a surprise for both of us.
It was. That was fun.
And I like it. Yeah.
That was fun. I like it. Clap, 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 clap,
clap. Fun in a weird way, but yes, fun. Entertaining. Yes.
So fun yeah. because I guess, like I said, as you know, Bree and I are just fascinated by disasters and the morbid and the unusual. It's like, we're not trying to glorify again, but it's just something we're fascinated with. We think it's incredible. We think it's, wow,
that's another
devastating.
Word that's not interesting.
Interesting. It's not interesting, people. I'm going to stop that right now. Fuck off.
You know, we're going to have a thesaurus for the word interesting and like go through it.
Fuck yeah, no, yes.
It's I think fascinating is my other word that I can think of, but it's
incredible.
I mean, it's
hard to do stuff like this. And then like, I like the idea that we do a little surprise.
See how that goes.
I'm going to do this. I think it's great.
Thank you for hanging out with us today.
Thanks,
listeners, our whole 5 listeners, I think we have now.
Oh, shit. Be prepared. You know,
yeah.
Earthquakes hit, bridges collapse. Yeah. People don't engineer things the way they used to. Just be aware and always be safe.
Yes.
You know,
come and follow us and give us some of information about you, I guess. Come and follow us. We have a lot of social media going on, so you can find us. Social meets, yeah.
Yep.
This abbreviates everything. So I think what I like to say is you could tweet us at Twitter at PDS Podcasts. And
guys,
can...
be a twit.
And just like Brett. Oh. And then
hello.
And then you can slide into our DMs or like our photos and all those things on Instagram, yes. which is also PDS Podcast.
Love.
You can email us. And we want to hear corrections, which we always say, stories, suggestions, what you will.
We want to hear no insults and arguments,
yeah.
all of them.
Just no creepy creeper emails. Is,
yeah,
think,
just
all
don't
I ask
don't
for.
Tell us you want our panties or some shit.
Oh, God,
you ain't
no.
getting them.
You ain't getting them. You,
nope.
Yeah.
They go to the garbage, guys.
Yeah.
You're going to have to dumpster dive. You're going to have to dumpster dive.
Oh, I thought you meant the email.
You know.
Not the panties. You can email us at pdangerous@gmail.com and you can follow us at by now, hopefully your favorite podcast platform that you listen to podcasts on. Hopefully, if not, please let us know and we'll see what we can do to try to make it easier to access our show. Yeah. And if you go on Anchor, you can leave us a voice message, which might be fun, but Yeah, I think that's it. Is that all? Is that all of them?
I think that's everything.
Yeah, because you can access our website through the Twitter profile or the Instagram profile. And we do link to some disaster nonprofit organizations, and there's a lot going on. So it's really important to donate right now. So yeah.
Yes. Especially now, because our planet's falling apart, guys.
Yeah.
Donate.
Donate,
or
please.
Do something about it.
So, Brett, what do we tell the folks?
Duck and cover. Bitches. Love y'all.
Bye.
Bye.